Well, that's a great question.
That's an interesting question. What a good question. That's an interesting question.
That's a great question.
That's the best question you've asked all day.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this third episode in Season 5 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include UK singer-songwriter Brooke Ellingworth. He's got a new single we'll be talking about, Like It Was the First Time. We'll also talk with singer-songwriter Justin David. His debut country release, Death Row, will be available this Friday, April 26th. Of course, there are many ways that you can help this completely independent podcast. You can rate, subscribe, share with your friends, and you can even be a part of us on our Patreon page. We'll be doing autographed giveaways coming as we reach member thresholds. There are links in the show notes to all those available places. Of course, we will share a couple of highlights, lowlights from around the world, like this one. Do you ever fight this battle at work? Maybe you think that you'd get more done if your desk was organized, but also you have zero interest in organizing your desk. Well, in a survey, 84% of people say that they feel more productive in their workplace if it's organized, whether that's at an office, a workshop, a retail setting, an operating room, or working remotely at home. Now, for remote workers, 59% like to work from a desk at their home, while 18% change spots throughout the day. 17% work from their dining room, and 16% typically work in bed. So if you want an organized workplace, does that mean that you neatly tuck yourself in while working? I don't know. Now, only 40% of workers say that they're very satisfied with the workplace. Now, for the others, most would like more space. Some would like better office furniture, and some would like to be less cluttered. And this is interesting. Over half of the people in the survey said that they described themselves as professionally organized, but personally chaotic. So things are more of a mess at home and in their personal lives. We like featuring new artists and new to us artists as well. We've got one from across the pond, excited to talk with Brooke Ellingworth, our first chance to meet with Brooke. And first off, Brooke, thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to getting to know you a little better today.
Yeah, Cameron, thanks for having me, man. I'm looking forward to this.
Now tell us, Brooke, being from the UK, and where did music, how did that first originate for you? Where did your first love for music first get kicked off?
It all came from my mum and dad and just being in the car as a kid, if it was going to school or being out on the weekends doing jobs, all that sort of stuff. My mum would always have country music on. My dad would always be playing like the singer-songwriter stuff and like a lot of rock and roll. So my love for music came from my parents.
When did you first pick up an instrument? When was it that you were like, you know, I want to start making some music myself? And you knew that you had something inside you to get out.
Yeah, it was about 8 years old. Yeah. I wanted to play the keys and I can't play the keys even right now. But I wanted to play the keys and I was so like set on learning how to play the keyboard or piano. And then there was this local blues and beers festival that I go to like every year pretty much. And I went and I saw these local lads in a band and I just, the lead singer was playing guitar and I was like, okay, I want to play guitar now. And I didn't, I'd probably touched the keys like once or twice at that age and I was just like, guitar, right, let's go. And then, so yeah, I started playing guitar at 8 and I just couldn't put it down.
Yeah. Now, how long did it take for you to feel comfortable enough that you started putting your own words with some of the licks that you were throwing down?
Man, I probably wrote my first song when I was like 9 or 10, I want to say. Probably for like some girl at school. I don't know, but yeah, I'd probably say about 9 or 10 was probably like the first sort of song I ever wrote. And then I had my first gig when I was like 11.
Wow.
At that same festival.
Really? Wow. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what was it about country music that really grabbed you? That was it, the storytelling part of it? Was that what it was about country music that grabbed you?
It was, yeah, it was the storytelling part of it. And also it was because I was so guitar obsessed as a kid. I was always like just like tones and licks and riffs and whatever it was. And like I was obsessed with gear and just everything about it. And country was so different. And I was so into rock and roll growing up, but I was also listening to country music. So yeah, that chicken picking, the twang guitar, but then a lot of the acoustic guitar stuff would be the country that I'd listen to. Not particularly the rock side of things back then. And yeah, just the storytelling and how deep the songs are.
Now, what's the difference that you've seen? I've never been over in the UK. I've never been across the pond myself. What's music intake on radio like? Is there so many genres as you see when you're here in the US? Or is everything so segmented? Or do you play? Do you have the stations where you got your country and your rock all followed up on the same place?
Dude, when I come out of the States, like as soon as I get in the hire car, I stick the radio on. When I'm here, I never play the radio. I never play the radio. There are like a couple of stations. There are like a couple of country stations. There are some rock stations like Planet Rock, and there's Absolute Country, and there's BBC Radio 2. They've got a country show. But a lot of these stations, they'll have segmented sort of shows within them with different genres. But yeah, I don't really listen to the radio a whole lot here. And if I do, I'm playing catch up on like an app somewhere.
Right. Now, who of the songwriters of late has inspired you the most over the last few years?
Last few years. There's a couple that come to mind straight away, and that'd be Kip Moore, and Jaren Johnston from the Cadillac 3. He's a wizard of a songwriter. He's absolutely incredible. And then Kip, I love everything that he's done. And yeah, I love the way that they both twist stories in different ways. And I love the way that Jaren can write for him and the Cadillac 3 and then do something completely different and write something for Keith Urban, or Tyler Hubbard or whoever it is, like Jake Owen. But they're definitely my two tops for the last few years, that's for sure.
Now, having a debut single for you out there in that for the US to be listening to, what's it like? What was getting the first feedback? What was that like for you?
Man, it's been great. Like it'll be 2 weeks this Friday. It's been awesome. Like I stuck an EP out last year, and that was just quick. That was just something to sort of so I can point people in a direction when they go, "Do you have anything out there?" And I was like, right, I need to get something down. So I sort of like rushed that a bit. But no, it's been, yeah, no, the reception from it's been awesome. It hasn't quite sunk in yet that it's on radio stations in the States.
Now, tell our listeners like it was the first time. Tell our listeners where this one came from, and like you said, though, that feedback that you're getting from the listeners that are digging it.
Yeah, okay, cool, man. So the story came from, it all started with from a personal experience, as any song really does. And yeah, it had been sort of sitting on me for a while, and I was out in Nashville and I was writing a bunch with a load of folks, and I had this chorus come to me. I wrote this chorus down and I made like a voice memo of it, and I was like, actually, this is pretty cool. And then I sort of just got lost in translation with everything else going on. Fast forward a few months later, I picked it back up and I started writing this story about that first kiss that changes somebody's life. Not your first kiss, like ever, when you like awkwardly like bash teeth with someone. But more or less, you know, the person that you're with today, or if it's the person you married, or maybe it's the one that got away and it didn't work out, but it was that first kiss that changed everything. And it was that energy and that moment in time, if you could go back to it, to relive it.
And how hard is it whenever you get in studio and you've got the song in your head, how hard is it to say, yeah, that matches what I hoped, what I was hearing whenever this song was in my mind?
All right, so I worked this one up quite a bit beforehand. I was already playing it with my band that I've got here in the UK. We had played it a couple of shows, and we, you know, we started grooving with it, and we started finding a great sound for it. And then I recorded it over at Curb Studios on Music Square in Nashville, with a great session band. And I took the song to them. I played them a live video of us playing it. I was like, right, let's start twisting this web. And it just came to life. It just came to life, and it was exactly, everything is exactly what that song needed.
Now, for you, when you first came to Nashville, was it 2018? What, the first time you came in?
Mm-hmm.
When you first came in and you walked around and you saw all the talent that's in Nashville, I mean, what was that like walking down the street? And I know the first time I went, I tell this story so many times, walking down Broadway, and I was hearing this amazing guitarist and vocalist. I was like, wow, I can't wait to see who this is. And by the time I got up there, it was a dude with his guitar case open playing in the alley. I was like, wow, where, how, and it's everywhere. What was that like for your first time seeing the music and the talent that's just everywhere?
Oh, it blew my mind. It blew my mind. I'd never seen anything like it before. Because there's nothing like that in the UK. So I was just, I was speechless for a good couple of days about it. 'Cause I was like, how is this a thing? How is there like two or three bands playing in the same bar, you know, on different stories? It's hard enough to get a bar here to put a band on, you know? And I'm like, they have three in one. Are you joking?
Yeah.
And the fact that you can walk, you can go anywhere and like any time of the day, and there's a band playing, there might not even be anyone in the room and they're still playing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do I do this? You know?
Now I got a question for you. This is one I've spoken to several that are across the pond, even my Australian buddies. How do you sing? How does the accent go away when you start singing?
I don't know. It's just been.
I've wondered that my whole life, and I waited for you, Brooke. That's
what it is.
You're going to drop some knowledge on us. Yeah, it's on you.
I don't really know, man. Maybe it's just because of the influences growing up with music and singing along to everything. Maybe. But it's been the way I've always sang. Yeah. There will be certain words and stuff that I keep true to me.
Yeah.
Like I don't really Americanize that much in a song. Like if we're speaking about a pavement, I'm not going to call it a sidewalk.
No.
Right. I think if I changed my voice to sound and like pronounce everything incredibly British, I'm just gonna sound like Ed Sheeran trying to do country music.
And then you'd have to dye your hair and all that.
I'd have to cut it and
leave along. We need a long haired Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
What we need. so now that the single's been out there for a couple of weeks and you've been getting the feedback and kind of getting the feels, if you will, how has this motivated you for the next release, for the song rights, maybe, or for what's next for Brooke?
So I'm already planning the next release. It's probably gonna be in May. And I recorded the next single about a week after I recorded Like It Was the First Time. Same studio, same band, different vibe, completely different song. Bit more of a sad number. But when it comes to writes and stuff, Like It Was the First Time was a solo write. And which when I first started coming to Nashville after COVID and started writing with people and co-writing with people, I didn't realize that that was what most writers in the town did. They co-write with people. So I'd go and play writers rounds and stuff, and I'd like some buddies go, "So who wrote that with you?" I'll be just like, "Myself." Like, I'm like, "Is that new? Is that weird?" Apparently. I have been writing a lot more since, even since the release of the single, because I'm now looking at what I want to release in the summer, or at least leading up to the summer, the bigger picture of this year, what's the project going to be, all of that sort of stuff. So there's so much going on. I'm just trying to keep up with it all.
Now, what when you come back to this to the States, what's the first thing you look forward to when you come to the States? What's number one, the thing that Brooke is going to find when you get back to the States?
The number one thing I'm going to find out about States, it's usually like a pack of PBR from like the gas station on the way to the place I stay in East Nashville. And then I rock up, have my beers around my friends. Usually what I usually do depends on the day I fly in. I'll head straight to the local. Like I'll head from the airport to that bar before I even go and drop my bags. I've done that multiple times where I've got in from the Uber with my bag and my like guitar and my suitcase and gone through the bar and was like, I'm back. So yeah, it's probably after the it's like a 9 hour flight, so probably a cold beer. Yeah,
That's right.
for sure.
Now, so another single coming out in May, and what about getting out playing live? I know you're coming back to the States, doing some traveling around. What's the itinerary look like for your next trip over?
Man, it's a busy one. I was going through dates the other day. I didn't realize how busy this trip was going to be. There's a bunch of interviews and podcasts, and there's going to be probably about there'll be a handful of writers' rounds thrown in, which is pretty usual for me now when I come over. There'll be a handful of rounds I get on. Last time I was in town, I managed to score a couple of gigs and bits and pieces. And seeing a load of friends co-writing a bunch. There's a couple of studio days booked, and I'm out for the whole of May, and in the middle of it, I fly from Nashville to Denver, and my dad's out there at the moment. I'm gonna go and meet him. We're gonna do a road trip with him and my brother, and we're gonna go up through like Wyoming, Montana,
Ah,
all
beautiful.
that. Exactly. Get some good writing material, then head back to Nashville, write some more country music. That's the
Good stuff.
plan.
That's good stuff. Well, Brooke, if folks want to find more about the single, about previous releases, upcoming releases, tour dates, and all that, where's the best place for folks to catch up on everything? Brooke Ellingworth, brother.
Easiest way to get me is Brooke Ellingworth Music, on any social media platform, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. I'm everywhere streaming wise. There's a website coming soon at Brooke Ellingworth Official. That's just being updated at the moment. But yeah, I post tour dates everywhere, so it's kind of hard to miss anything.
That's awesome. Well, I love the new single. Look forward to checking out some new music from you in the coming weeks as well. Continued success to you, brother, and make a stop if you ever come over Oklahoma way. We'd love to see you.
Well, I will definitely be there at some point. Cameron, it's been a pleasure, dude.
Well, I guess your guard dogs are obsolete now because this is even more intimidating. Robot dogs with flamethrowers attached to their head are now something you can buy.
A company called Throwflame is selling one called Therminator for $9,400. You operate it over Wi-Fi or Bluetooth with a remote control, and it can shoot flames up to 30 feet. Now, the website says they're legal in all 50 states. You just need a special permit in California and Maryland. Now, they're not pushing the guard dog angle, but they do list 8 different things it's perfect for. They include controlled burns, ice and snow removal, clearing weeds, pyrotechnics or entertainment, and also pest removal. We like to introduce some artists. Got a new single to talk about called Death Row. With the artist name is Justin David. And first off, Justin, appreciate you taking some time to be on the show today, brother.
Yes, sir. I apologize. It's happened to be from the truck, but I didn't want to reschedule. I was looking forward to this. So.
now, Justin, tell us when did you know that that music was something special for you? That's one of those questions I like to ask everybody first time around, and see where your love for music originated, brother.
I've loved music from probably birth, but just talent shows here and there. As I was growing up, and when I say growing up, I mean as I was like 7, 8, 9 years old, nothing really extreme, but I always loved to sing. I have a pretty outgoing personality, and I was working a job in 2015 and had some free time and just kind of wanted to learn a new hobby. I picked up a guitar and I'm YouTube taught a lot of things. Started watching some YouTube videos, learned a few chords, had no intention of pursuing music. I love music. Had no intention of pursuing music as any kind of form of income or anything, but after playing for a while, I put a song that it was the Hurt It In A Love song. I was playing it, recorded it on my phone, and posted it on Facebook for the first time ever. I even knew I was playing, and next day I get a message from a steakhouse in Vernon, Texas, asking if I wanted to come play an acoustic show for him. And I was like, what? Really? I thought I was terrible, especially back then. Next thing I know, I've got a calendar full of shows. And, then I wrote my first song in 2017, which is this song, because people were asking if I had any original content. And I said no, and I just gave it a shot. And this is what came out, Death Row. And so I've never killed anyone either. There's no truth in this song. Where the inspiration came from, I don't know, but I've never killed anyone, just to get that clear.
There you go. Now to see it go full circle and the first one that you wrote being the first one that you're truly releasing or making a big release out of, how cool is that for you, Justin?
It's real cool. It's kind of hard to convey that to people, how cool that is, because I've written 100 songs since then, or more than 100 since then, several hundred since that song, some that are probably better in some people's eyes, but everyone seems to gravitate to this song when I play it live. This is the one that gets the most praise. I don't play every song I've ever written when I do live shows, obviously, but the ones I do, I always include this one because it is the first one I ever wrote, and it's kind of got a little meaning to me just from that standpoint. And even when I wrote it, I couldn't even play it on the guitar. That's how I knew I was to music. I had to have another guy play it for me so I could sing it.
That's awesome. Now, when you first took the stage, like the show in Vernon and other shows since then, what was it about the actual live show that made you think, this is something I want to chase?
It's a rush. I can't imagine somebody like a Luke Combs or a Morgan Wallen, the kind of adrenaline rush that they get walking out to. And I don't have any desire to go be those guys. And I have a family. It's kind of not really the lifestyle I'm looking to go live, but I just can't imagine that adrenaline rush that they must have going out there. And, just knowing what I feel when I go play in a bar with 50 people in it, and they're going out to stadiums with 70,000 singing every song. I just can't imagine that. But, it was that maybe. It's fun. It's fun to entertain people. It's fun to watch them have a good time and respond to your music. And, my goal is to write a song that somebody can come to me and say, man, that song changed my life. That'd be the biggest win that I could have in this whole deal. So that's kind of where I'm, what I pursue. I just want to write music. I want somebody else famous to sing it. I just want to write it.
Now you talked about the writing, and that kind of lends right where I was, leaning to next. What do you see the biggest difference in yourself as a writer
since Death Row, since you wrote that one, as opposed to maybe the latest write that you've got?
Yeah. You know, when I wrote Death Row, I had no clue what I was doing. You know, I think I listened to there was a Coe Wetzel song out at the time called Honey Pain, and it, you know, that little rhythm of that song in the intro, that is kind of what sparked the creativity. It was like a dark, somber, you know, kind of ballady type sound. And then I was like, I like that, but I didn't know how to play it. Buddy that I was hanging out with, he could play it on the guitar pretty quick. And I was like, I want to try to write to that, you know, something to that kind of rhythm, that kind of flow, that kind of sound. And Death Row come out. I mean, it, you know, the song structure at the time, it's been tweaked, you know, a little bit over the years as far as to what you're going to hear on the radio, because it was like a 6 minute long song when I first wrote it, you know, and that's not going to make it to the radio.
Six minutes. That's Bohemian Rhapsody. That's hard to fill with, isn't it?
That's a long song. So on the fly, me and the producer, Jared Flushy out of Fort Worth, he's amazing. He's the guitarist for Giovanni and the Hired Guns. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a great mind for this kind of stuff. You know, I had no idea what to expect going into a professional recording studio and having this done. And he just took it beyond what I could have imagined with it, you know, just to have it. I didn't know what to expect. And he blew my mind. But we had to compress the song in a, you know, on the fly. So to condense it down to be radio worthy, or at least have a chance to be on the radio. And so that was kind of cool, but it's, you know, I've written songs now that have a lot more structure, a lot more written in a professional kind of way as opposed to Death Row. But this one was just the one out of all of them. When I've talked to people, this is the one I thought needed to be done first.
Now, what has been the hardest part leading up to release day? What has been the hardest part for you to maybe get out of the out of your own way, if you will? Is it the photo shoots? Is it the video shoots? Is it the constant social media posts? What's been the hardest thing for you, brother?
So, you know, as a writer, you're your own worst critic. You know, nothing's ever good enough for you. But you know, my wife would be like, man, that's such a good song, babe. Such a good song. Or my mom, but that's such a good song, but they're supposed to tell me that,
right?
You know, you expect them. So it didn't really hit me until I started hanging out with Shallow Powers out of Carnegie. We got together, jammed, went and played some shows together. And I played in my originals the first time that he'd been. And he's like, his response to him is what was like, well, maybe there is something there, because this guy knows what he's talking about.
Right.
This guy's not just telling me this, you know, if anybody knows what it takes to have a song that could be good, it's going to be him and his opinion. Not that my mom and wife's opinions don't matter, but his opinion in that regard had a lot more weight to it.
Right.
And so once that happened, I was like, all right, let's do this. And so he got me in touch with Jared Blushy. We set a date, got it professionally shot. I mean, 613 Media out of Dallas is like the media company that people use in especially the red dirt world, if you want to call it red dirt, you know. Parker McCollum, all those guys, Coe Wetzel, Giovanni, they all use him. He's amazing. Young kid, too, 26 years old, I think, and dude's got probably $50,000 worth of camera equipment in the back of his car.
He's doing all right.
He's doing all right, yeah. He's actually going to come to Altus next month and do some stuff for us at our med spa. So
that's cool. Now, as you come to release day, what kind of goals do you set on the release day or maybe personal aspirations, if you will, on a debut release?
Sure. You know, I don't know really what the goal would be. I don't know really what to expect. So it's kind of my first, I know a lot of people that like the song anyway. So I guess my goal is just to see them share it and get it out there to some more people. You know, I'd like to get it on a couple radio stations and, you know, I just want to get it to the right ears, you know, to the right ears of a person that could really do something with the song. You know, because in this kind of business, it just takes one, you know, one good song and your foot's in the door, you know, then it could change the game for you. So, but you got to get it into the right ear, you know, that's my goal. Get it shared in the right person to hear it.
And getting in the right room.
Who that person is, I don't know, but just, yeah.
Getting in the right room is a huge key as well. As far as getting to get in the right room with whether that be a writer, a producer, but you've already got a good start on that as well, Justin.
Yes. And I've made a post on Facebook a while back about this. And, you know, I owe all that to Shiloh. You know, without him, I wouldn't be releasing these songs. And I say without him, without his encouragement and just like his words about the music, that's kind of what made me feel like, well, maybe I am good enough to send this out to something. So it gave me the confidence to go ahead and go all the way through with it.
And how hard was the time in studio being the perfectionist? How hard was it for you to say, okay, that's good enough? I mean, or do you ever get to the point where you feel like it's good enough?
It, you know, that's the thing, you know, I'm my own worst critic. To me, it's never good enough, you know, it's, as far as me. So what I have to do is like, Jared, you're the professional, you're the musician, you're the talent in this room, take the reins and tell me to shut up. You know, I had to tell him that, like, this is what I want you to do. If I'm going to pay you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to tell me to be quiet and I want you to take the reins. And he did. And I'm happy with it. I mean, it's my lyrics. It's his music, you know, as far as it's his song too, as much as it's mine. Cause it did not have the stuff it has on it when I did it by myself. You know, he elevated the song substantially.
So what is the next project for you? Have you got a second lined up, a next one lined up, or are we looking EP? What's the next project for you?
Yeah, I'm hoping to have 3 songs out to all the platforms by the end of May is the goal. So with the first one being this Friday, we've kind of had some things come up with this building we're purchasing in Altus, so that's kind of put a pause on me getting that. I had a lot of things to handle with that, so that's winding down now. So I'm fixing to get back after that and get back in there with Jared. And he's already got the songs and kind of been playing with them, but it's getting down there and getting vocals recorded and stuff. And can't wait to see. And I haven't heard anything that he's been playing with either. He's going to just wait till I get there, which is sounds good to me. I trust everything he's going to do.
And how hard being from Altus and having to make the 3.5-hour commute to Fort Worth back and forth to keep working? I mean, I know it doesn't make it a timely venture, does it?
No, it doesn't. But when you get to that kind of result, you know, the drive is nothing. So, you know, I don't mind making that drive. It's just right in Fort Worth. Is the Bolt Studio is the name of it. And it's, you know, like I said, didn't know what to expect. And had I not been happy with it, I probably wouldn't drive that far. But in Altus America, there's not a whole lot of options that aren't real close, you know. So
that's right. Now,
I mean, does Reed Southall lives in Altus, and I'm pretty sure he's not recording in Altus, you know.
Now Reed's pretty well not recording in Altus. I'll give him that.
He's definitely not.
Does the drive time before or after, which Rich, before or after drive time is the better time for you for inspiration sake?
You know, after he didn't see, did I disconnect from you? I'm sorry. Somebody started calling me.
No, we're good.
Oh, so I went to lunch with my, I actually took my daughter with me to do this. And, I went to lunch, had no, you know, and I had just done a vocal track. That's it. And, we were on our way back and got about halfway back to the studio. And he sends me a rough demo already just of what he was going to do with an acoustic guitar. And that intro run that he does, I was just blown away. I looked at my daughter like, oh my gosh. You know, that was not in my head at all. You know, I wasn't hearing that, but what he did, it just blew my mind. And so the whole way back when we got done that day, I bet I listened to the song 100 times, just couldn't get enough of it. You know, just loved what he had done. And that did inspire some, you know, it inspired me to start learning some guitar licks and some different guitar runs that for intros, you know, I wasn't really focused on any of that, but now I work on that a lot. So.
That's cool. Well, Justin, again, the single Death Row, I want to make sure and let our listeners know where to find social media, website, all that stuff to keep up with not only the music, but merch, tour dates, all that as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, it's unfortunate that Facebook kind of is the controlling thing on all this, but I had to start all over. I had like 5,000 followers and got flagged for impersonating another guy named Justin David that was on Nashville Star. We don't look nothing alike, none of the same content. I didn't have any argument when they just deleted my account. I had to start over. So Justin David Sings is the new account on all platforms, TikTok, Instagram, social media, or Facebook. Justin David Sings, and it'll have all my stuff on there. Got some songs posted, some cover songs, show dates, that kind of thing.
That's good stuff. Well, again,
all the platforms the song will be on. The song will be on all platforms too, as far as Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes.
That's awesome. Well, Justin, I look forward to a big release day for you, brother. Looking forward to future releases and anything we can do to help you out, brother. I look forward to talking again and visiting again real soon.
Yes, sir. Hey, Cameron, thank you. I appreciate you, sir. I enjoyed it.
Again, thanks to Justin David and Brooke Ellingworth for being our guests today. And as usual, we're going to wrap up with a stupid criminal file for the day. Well, you can stick a fork in this relationship. Actually, I guess that's too late. Cops near Augusta, Georgia got a call about a domestic dispute Sunday night. Unfortunately, there'd been a stabbing. The victim was in the middle of a big argument with his on-again, off-again girlfriend when things turned physical. She grabbed a fork and stabbed him in the butt with it. She told police she just poked his butt, but he described it as a full-on stabbing. Thankfully, it does sound like he'll survive. Now, they could have arrested her for assault, but she left and the boyfriend decided not to press charges. Cops say they advised the man on how to get a temporary restraining order. And that's going to wrap things up for this episode. I do want to thank you for joining us on Good Questions with Cameron Dole. You can hit me up on the socials, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and Facebook at The Cameron Dole. And if you have a special guest idea, just email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Also, be sure and consider helping fund the podcast via Patreon or Venmo with links in the show notes. Now we'll let our good friend Brandon Allen play us out. Let's talk again soon, my friend.